from what you know of the life of Jesus, what do you think was more important to him? What he went through, experienced, and endured? Or that the Father's name was glorified and his plan came to fruition? Pretty easy question, right? As we are called to participate with God through his Holy Spirit, as our lives are changed into the image of our Lord and Savior, here's the question posed to us. What's more important to us? Our comfort, our safety? Or the glory of the Father and his will accomplished in this world through our participation, partnership, and efforts for his eternal kingdom? What's more important? Me or Jesus? Let's make it simple. As I live today, what's more important? Me or Jesus? As I go to school and work tomorrow, what's more important, me or Jesus? As I interact with my family and my friends, what's more important, me or Jesus? Everything that we do and say wherever he leads us, as we are fellowship and participating with his purposes, what's more important, me or Jesus? That's as simple as I can make it. But boy, we're going to wrestle with that one for a while. Because as much as we say, oh no, Jesus is more important. That's fight, isn't it? As flesh comes in and says, are you serious? Nothing's more important than you. Nothing's more important than how you look, how you feel, how comfortable you are, how happy you are. Nothing's more important than that. Sometimes God brings us to uncomfortable places. We must remember, Jesus is more important than us. He's why we're here. If it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here today. If it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't know the life that we have been given. If it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't have the hope that we share in our hearts for eternal life. So, this morning, let's go to our Father in prayer. We will continue to ask for his Spirit, and we will continue to be strengthened and encouraged to allow his will to be done in our lives, because his will and his glory is always greater than ours. Our Father in heaven, thank you for today. Lord, look, we come together, and whether we won last week or whether we lost, today's a new day, and your love for us has not changed, but your mercies are new every morning. And so, Father, we confess to you the defeats that we experienced. We give those to you. We repent. We apologize, and we turn back to you to receive forgiveness and be strengthened and encouraged to continue to walk in your steps. And Father, the victories that we experienced this last week, we lay those at your feet because we know that was not us. That was you actually working in us. Father, we glorify your name. We thank you for giving us your Spirit so that our hearts can be opened to the sacrifice of Jesus, that we may know forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And we thank you for your Spirit so that we may know what our lives are supposed to be about. Because, Father, we are tempted. We are tempted to look like others. We are tempted to just go along with everything around us and to chase things that do not last. Father, place our hearts in yours so that we will chase the things that last. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. At the end of chapter 7. As Stephen is killed, it kind of it does two things. Number one, it tells us in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, that Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So, Stephen is willing to stand up and say, this is what Jesus has done. And he tells them the story. And they kill him for it. And something happens on that day. The Holy Spirit has already shown up. Jesus has gone back to his place in heaven, and he has said, this is what you're doing now. I'm going to be with you, but this is what you're doing now. You are continuing what I did with you. And we saw this. Jerry read for us in Matthew chapter 10. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, that was the original 12, right? The disciples that were with him in the beginning. We didn't read all their names, but that's who he was talking to. And he told them to go ahead, right? Go into every town and village and proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you remember from Matthew chapter 10, where did he tell them not to go? To the Gentiles or Samaria? Jesus says, your job while I'm here, you are getting the lost sheep of Israel ready, God's original people. We are preparing them for what God is doing for them. That was the message and ministry of Jesus. But now that we have, Josh helped us with this in Ephesians chapter 6 and in other places, now the mystery of the gospel is what? Is that now it's no longer just the Jews, God's original people, but now the life, the ministry, the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, has been given to all his children. And now we see in the book of Acts, and you'll remember back in chapter 1, specifically verse 8, Jesus tells these same followers, I'm going back to the Father, you're going to take the message, and you're going to go, let's go back and take a look, just as a reminder. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So now that the gospel has come to Israel, Jesus says that's going to continue and it's going to go, and the good news is for everyone. Which again, we are called to participate, to koinonia fellowship with the Holy Spirit, right? But Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit, it was, here's the promise of what you have, but here's what you're supposed to do with it. So in chapter 1, verse 8 of Acts, he says, you're going to have the Holy Spirit, but you are called to be what? What's the word? Witness. Witness. So, church, again, this entire study is we are saying, Lord, you know what? We want more of your Holy Spirit. We need more of your Holy Spirit. We need hearts that are in tune with you and what you are doing. We desire lives that bring you glory and not us glory. We know that you are worthy of everything. We are humbled and grateful and overjoyed at the fact of just being in your presence, of having our hearts cleansed, of being able to look at God clearly as Stephen did, and say, I see his face. He's right there. To live that existence, but to remember that it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose to be witnesses to the world around us of what God has done for us through his Son. In Acts chapter 8, we'll get into it, but Philip is spreading the gospel throughout Samaria. And he runs into a guy named Simon. And Simon sees the Holy Spirit, and the apostles come, and they lay hands on believers. And the Holy Spirit is given to him, and he said, I got some money. I'll take some of that. I'll take some of that power. And church, We can look at Simon and go, evil. You can't buy the power of God. That's not right. But church, if you and I are praying for the Holy Spirit just so that our life is easier, we're not far from Simon. If you and I are praying for the Holy Spirit just so we can, you know, do this or do that or see this or see that, that's not God's purposes. God has called us to be witnesses to what he has done. Anyone ever seen a court drama, TV show, or a movie where someone was on the witness stand? You know what the witness stand is, right? They raise their right hand, they tell the whole truth, and then the lawyers start asking them questions, right? Well, sometimes when a witness is not doing what they're supposed to do, you ever heard a lawyer say, Your Honor, permission to treat this witness as a hostile witness? Like, I need to get real with them because they're not giving it up. They're not being a good witness. They're not telling the truth of what they have seen. And I need to get to the truth so that justice may occur in this case. Church, you and I cannot be hostile witnesses. We can't be hostile witnesses. And number two, we can't plead the fifth. Do you know how good Jesus Christ is? Then you better not live your life pleading the fifth and walk around in silence and not witnessing what God has done and is doing. Too many of us, we just want to sit in silence. I plead the fifth. We interact with other people. Say, "Ooh, boy, this person, you ever met someone that needs Jesus? You ever run into someone, encountered someone that needs Jesus? Good, if your head is just not sore from nodding back and forth, I know you're not being honest. We encounter people every day that need Jesus. And too often, you and I, those who are called to partner and walk hand in hand with His Spirit, we're pleading the fifth. We're quiet. We're silent. We're bad witnesses. I've seen what Jesus has done in my life. You've seen what Jesus has done in your life. You've seen what Jesus has done here at Sunrise and bring this group of people together for His glory and His purposes. And we have witnessed and we have heard about and seen ourselves that God answering prayers and bringing strength and healing and uniting and working all of these things. And yet too often we dare to just go out from this place and live our lives in silence. The book of Acts is a very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing because it shows us what the church looks like being led by a resurrected Son of God and filled and directed their steps by the Holy Spirit. It's dangerous to read. It's dangerous to look at because it's screaming from the pages that it's really not about me. It really is about God accomplishing His will in this world and seeing fit to just let me be a part of that. Back to chapter 8, verse 2. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. So Stephen's killed. The persecution begins that day. The church is like scattered, right? Saul is going from house to house. And Saul's a devout Jew. And he's going from house to house. Round them up. They're standing against us. They're proclaiming this Jesus. They're messing with our stuff. Throw them in jail. Look what happens. Verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Church, at some point, if we're going to partner with the Holy Spirit, our purpose and mission of sharing the good news of Jesus has to become more important to us than what actually happens to us. That's how the church grows. The church grows, the gospel is spread when you and I take hold of the gospel itself and say, that is more important than how comfortable I am here. because the enemy comes in. I mean, think about when Jesus, it was already, sorry, I forgot who that was this morning. When Jesus was tempted by the devil. Remember that story? Yeah. Remember when it happened? He's baptized. Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. Holy Spirit rushes him off into the wilderness, and he doesn't eat for how many days? 40 days and nights. He's hungry, and the enemy shows up, and the enemy tests him and tries him. And after he defeats Satan by Scripture, what happened immediately after Satan leaves him? The angels attend to him. He gets some food. And then he comes back to town, and it is, let's go. It's ministry time, right? Yeah. Church, when we are fed by God, guess what? It's ministry time. He feeds us, he provides for us, he gives us everything we need for the purpose of, let's go. It's ministry time. It's time, God takes care of us. I've said this a lot. God takes care of us so that we can take care of others. That's the whole point. That is the whole point. He allows us to be a part of that. He says, I give you everything you need. Now go out there and meet the needs of the world. Well, I can't meet the needs of the world. It's just too big. Really? Well, they might persecute me. Yeah, well, God does really well with difficult circumstances, doesn't he? I mean, how many times have you seen the glory of God when your life was falling apart? Right? He works wonderfully in difficult circumstances. It's when he does his best work. So here, the church, they're being persecuted. And let's see. Sorry, I'm back in Acts chapter 8. They're scattered preaching the word. I'm in verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Church, you and I have to know. We have to believe. We have to trust that the gospel of Jesus is so powerful and it has changed our lives so much that, number one, we couldn't do without it. Number two, we wouldn't be anything without it. And it is still holding that same power to be a blessing and bring life to others. That's the point. That's the point. God wants to bless his children. And he has called his faithful children to be a part of that blessing. Amen. If only we believed it. If only we believed it. Because too often, as soon as there's a little bit of persecution, what do? Uh-oh. Circle the wagons. Retreat! The book of Acts is not a book of retreat, is it? No! Let's go! It's push forward. Yeah, but there's push back. Okay. Well, it's a good thing that I'm not in this fight alone. And it's a good thing that the one that's in me is greater than the one in them. If only we believed it. If only we believed it. I'm convinced the Bible is the most terrible thing in theory, but the most wonderful thing in truth. Worst thing to be is a half-believer. Oh, that's a bad place to be, isn't it? That is a bad place to be. I mean, again, you talk to people that are not Christians and they're just like almost there, and you know the fights that they're in, right? You talk to someone and you're like, they want to become a Christian. The gospel is going to make such a difference in their life. And they're just like, you know what? I got a few questions, but I think I'm headed. And then, have you ever seen the enemy get them before they were able to commit? Oh, wow. I've been face to face with that one. And it's not far from Jesus in the wilderness. It is right there. The enemy just gets them, hooks. Oh, it's real. It is real. But then again, the celebrations that we enjoy when someone does say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that I am a sinner and I'm dead without him. And I want his life to be my life. And we see them come out of the waters of baptism and receive the Holy Spirit. And what a celebration that is, right? Exactly. Exactly. If it's true, it's the best thing there is. I felt if it's only half true, if it's only kind of true, that's a tortured place to be. That is a tortured place to be. Church, if is not a good word. As we participate with the Spirit and still exist in this world, we should expect some persecution. Right? We should expect it. We should expect pushback. Because what does pushback mean? It means that we're pushing. You know when we don't get pushback? When we've done this. Okay? I am moving forward. It's ministry. It's go time. And I'm getting some pushback. You know when you never get pushback? That's right. When you turn around and you go with the flow of the world, no resistance, no pushback. Easy. But that's not us, is it? That's not us. No. No, because we've seen what Jesus does. We've felt and lived what Jesus does. And that goes against what the world's got going on. And so there's a little bit of pushback. If you and I are going to make it to our goal, if you and I are going to have the faith of Stephen to say, I mean, yeah, these rocks are not comfortable, but I see Jesus. What am I going to do? Run away? Stop? Shut my mouth? Go back to what I was? Are you kidding me? I see Jesus. What can I do but say, hey, everybody, there he is. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. All right, well, this is becoming more uncomfortable. But look, Jesus, I know that you want me so much and you want them too. I know because you died on the cross for them. And I want them to know you. My prayer, Lord, is becoming less and less about my life and my comfort and what I'm going through. And my prayer is becoming like that of Jesus on the cross. Father, I want them to find your grace. I don't care what happens to me anymore. I want them to experience this joy. Forgive them, Lord. Let them find your mercy. Let them see your Son. Again, that's not an easy story to follow, is it? It's not because we sit here comfortably and we go, that's just crazy talk. I mean, people throwing rocks at my head? My thought is not forgiveness. Right? Yeah. No. My thought is revenge. Josh told us this morning, Josh read for us this morning, he didn't tell us. Vengeance belongs to who? That's God's job. None of us are qualified for vengeance. None of us. We're not qualified for vengeance. I mean, you know what vengeance happens? I mean, what happened? Oh man, this is awful. This hit me last night. This was on my Reels feed on social media. This was horrible. This guy was videoing himself, and he had a breakaway T-shirt. So he was feeling pretty strong. And he took that T-shirt, and he held onto it, and he went. Problem was, one of his kids was standing right over here to the side. So when he rips that breakaway t-shirt, he just clocked his daughter right in the face. And then it did a cutaway to another kid who unfortunately had an kind of a flat face and an extra long forehead. And I laughed at it. It got me. It got me because it's probably not the same kid. But the joke was, I am just throwing it out there. And I'm causing some damage that I didn't mean to cause. That's why God tells us, you're not qualified for vengeance because what's going to happen? Hey, oh, whoops. We don't know how to control it. We don't know how to control it. And we don't know where it really should go. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, we share the good news. That's what we do. We love and we forgive. So, all right, go to verse 9, Acts chapter 8, verse 9. There was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city, and he amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. They paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. Ouch. Man, I want it. I want it. Take it all. Take all my money. Just give me that. I want that. And Peter says, well, that's not happening. That's not happening because your heart is not right with God. Verse 22. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Was Simon baptized? He was. And he's seeing all that the Holy Spirit is doing, and he's like, yeah, I want that. Well, then Peter and John show up into town, because so far, and again, we see this in the book of Acts, is baptism. Baptism is a very, well, the book of Acts is a very fun place for baptism theology, because it's just kind of, it's all over the place, okay? I mean, things are just moving ahead at such a quick pace. Peter and John are coming up behind going, oh, let's make sure everything's good, okay? And the excitement and the fervor is just rushing forward and people are turning to the Lord, but let's just make sure that everything is where it needs to be and everybody's in good shape. So they come. These people have been baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, they need the Holy Spirit. So the apostles, they pray for them. They lay their hands on them. They receive the Spirit. And Simon's a performer. I mean, he's a magician. This guy, again, I mean, you can go and take a look at the language if you want, but this guy's had some power. This is, you know, this is not like David Copperfield kind of magic. He probably had something going on, a little darker. He was amazing people and really putting on a great show for a long time. Now he sees what the Spirit's doing and he says, oh, I could use that. And so he goes to Peter and he's like, hey, I'll pay you. Let me have this power. And Peter turns on to this baptized believer and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Uh-uh. You better repent. You better humble your heart and turn it right back to God quick. And maybe he'll forgive you because this is bad. This is evil. This is not how things work. And Simon's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Will you pray for me? Because, I mean, as we just discovered, my heart's not always in the right place. Will you pray for me, please? Please? That God will forgive me of my sin? Because, yeah, I'm sorry. Getting out there, persecution's messy. And talking to people about Jesus, guess what? It's sometimes messy, isn't it? Sometimes it is. It's messy. It's messy. It is. You're bringing something that is just foreign to so many people. And some are going to believe, and some are going to become Christians, and some people are going to ignore, and some people are going to argue, and some people are going to turn against you. It's kind of messy. But it's what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do. So when we get the pushback, let's turn over to, sorry, I'll get there. Second Corinthians chapter 4. And I apologize, it's taking me long because the Lord had a different sermon than I did this morning. Second Corinthians chapter 4. We need to hear this. The Apostle Paul writes to the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. God has given us this ministry of taking the gospel to the world. We don't lose heart. We do not lose heart. We do not quit. We do not give up. That's not an option. That's not an option. We do not lose heart. Okay? We can't be broken in here. Uh-uh. We do not lose heart. The stakes are too high. It's too important. We are so filled with what God has done for us. And Jesus is actually more important to us than we are. We're in. So we do not lose heart because there's going to be pushback. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word. We're not trying to trick people into becoming Christians. That doesn't do anybody any good. This is not bait and switch. No, this is straight up. This is discipleship. This is what it looks like. This is what it means. These are the sacrifices that you're going to have to make. This is what God requires of you. And this is what God has done for you. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So Paul here reminds believers, hey, look, our message is not us. We don't go to the world and say, hey, look at me, follow me, be like me, because I got it all together, because I'm doing it right. Nope, that's not our message. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, hey, look at Jesus. Jesus did it right. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one that showed us what life looks like. That's the message. That's the message. And you know what? That gospel, that may be veiled to some people. Some people are going to hear the story of Jesus and go, yeah, nice story, bro. Or fairy tale, or whatever you want to call it. Not for me. Not everybody's going to believe. I mean, we know this, right? That's not a news. That's not a headline for anybody. Paul says not everybody's going to believe, but we're not going to mess around with it. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to change it. We're not going to say, okay, well, you don't like the story of Jesus. All right, well, how do I put this in a better way so that, because I really want you to be like me. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to go to heaven. So let me just change it a little bit. Nope. We don't do that. We don't play games with that. That's not what we do. That's not what we do. And why don't we do that? Because I'm not going to cheapen it, and I'm not going to make it something it's not, and I'm not going to make it less than what it is. Because I know that I had to believe it, I had to put my faith in it, and now it shines in my life. Now it's my light. I know that nothing good comes from me. My heart's convicted. I am not that great a guy. I'm a guy. I'm not Jesus. Jesus is the guy. I'm a guy. He's the guy. No, he's the man. Yeah. Yeah. So I got to point people to him. Verse 7, and we got to catch the second half of this chapter, because when it gets real, we got to remember this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're weak. We're humble. I mean, you know, I can tell some of you all lift, but we're not that strong. We're kind of little. We're not that impressive. The glory goes to God. He's impressive. He has the power. It's not us. It's not us. And we remember this. We are afflicted. Verse 8. We're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Being afflicted is not fun, is it? No, just kind of being hit from every side, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it is psychological, whether it's spiritual. Affliction's not fun. But Paul says, but you know what? Not crushed. I mean, you know, there may be some emotional damage, but we're not defeated. We are not crushed. You got to remember that. You got to remember that. Perplexed. Oh. I don't know what to do next. I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm confused. I don't have the answers. But not driven to despair. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to say, oh, well, it's worthless. It's hopeless. There's nothing that can be done. No. No. I know there's something that can be done. I don't know what it is yet. But I'm not going to give up. Persecuted. All right, so the world may go against us, but not forsaken. Now, the world may hate me. The world may say bad things about me. The world may mistreat me. But I know whose I am. And he's not letting go. He will not let go. Struck down. Struck down. But not what? Not destroyed. Right? Again, fans of Monty Python. Come on. You know I was going there. What are you going to do? Struck down. You can cut my arms off, my legs off. But I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm not destroyed. Yeah, the world can hurt me. But can't kill me. Can't kill me. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. So, right here. This goes with me everywhere I go. The sacrifice that Jesus gave for me on Calvary, that is above everything. That's why we do it every week. We take in the body and blood of our Lord and Savior. We are reminded of what he has done for us. I carry his body with me everywhere. At all times, I have to. I carry the body of death so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Yeah, they may kill me. My story may end up like Stephen's. I mean, I know that's not, you know, go to church for the preacher to say, hey, man, I hope you all become martyrs. Half of you will be gone next Sunday. That guy's crazy. He said he hopes we all die. Now, no one's saying that out loud. I'll text you later. He says, look, whatever happens to us, it's okay. Why? Because we're doing it so that the life of Jesus may reach others. So death is at work in us. My life, that's not my driving factor anymore. What's my driving factor? That other people will taste the life of Jesus that I have been blessed to taste. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. As we participate with the Holy Spirit of Christ, we should start to become consumed with the things of God. That should be our light. That should be our guiding force. That should be our purpose. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. You want to know what somebody believes? All you got to do is ask them. Everybody will tell you what's most important to their life, okay? Will they not? Do we not? Unfortunately, the most that most of us believe is just our family. Most of us believe our family. That's what we talk about. Most of us believe the weather. I still don't get that one, but that's what we talk about. Most of us believe our jobs, because that's what we talk about. Most of us believe our health, because that's what we talk about. We believe a lot of things. All you got to do is listen. What are we talking about? What are we known for? What's coming out of our mouth? I'll tell you what's coming out of your mouth. It's whatever your heart's full of. Whatever our heart is full of, we automatically what? It comes out. That's Bible. Yeah, that's not Michael. I'm not good enough to come up with that one. Because out of the heart, words come out. That's what Paul's saying here. Look, we believe. This is our truth, and so we've got to say it. We have to tell other people about it. It's what we know. It's what we believe. We're all in. We're all in. Help me out. Oh, verse 14. I got to finish this chapter, and then I'm going to sit down. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. If your inner self is being renewed day by day, should my inner self be better today than it was yesterday? Yeah, should be. It should. Because it's being renewed every single day. Every single day I wake up and it's renewed. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Today. I mean, it's like, wow. What else do you do every day? Brush your teeth? Hopefully? I hope so. We brush our teeth every day, right? You remember when your kids looked at you? Oh, Mom, I don't need to brush my teeth before school. I brushed yesterday. No. That's a daily, right? Every day. Some things are daily. I mean, some things we can get away with for a few days. But, you know, hygiene, that's a daily. Holy Spirit, that's a daily. Being renewed by God, that's a daily. Sunday to Sunday is not even good enough. It's not. It's not. We are renewed every single day. Today's a new day. I have to be reminded in my mind that I'm living for the purpose of God. I have to be reminded in my heart, I know what He's done for me, and I actually want to be on board with Him doing that for others every day. Every day I have to remind myself, because I look in my mirror above my sink or the mirror in my pocket, and I'm reminded how beautiful I am. And so every day I have to spend more time being reminded how beautiful He is, because His beauty far surpasses mine. Because it's all about Him. Because it's all about Him. Verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As, in other words, everything that's coming to us in the future is going to blow away everything we experience here in this life. Okay, I can dig on that. I can dig on that. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are, what does yours say? There's no substance. They're passing. Ecclesiastes, chevel. It's like a vapor. If you can see it, it doesn't last. What's the rest of the verse say? We probably want to underline it. The things that are unseen are eternal. All right, church. That's a lot. I know. I'm going out of town this week. I was planning a very light lesson. But that was me. That was me. I can't encourage you to get yourself out of the way and let God lead if I'm not willing to. It's really amazing. I always have things prepared. And this morning, I just got to stand back there for one of the songs Steve led us, and I got to sing and listen to your praise from the back of the auditorium. It was different because I'm usually up here. It was a different sound. It was a different. And he said, hey, this is where we're going today. This is where I'm leading you. Church, that's the point. The point is we have believed and we got to share. The point is He has saved us. We are secure in our salvation. And He has involved us in the work of His Spirit in bringing that salvation to others. So let's be involved. Let's be involved. All right? So this morning, if you have not tasted that the Lord is good, this morning, if it's your day to receive salvation from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed on Calvary, if today is your day where your heart goes, yep, I am a sinner. I can't do it myself. It's got to be about Him. We invite you to come and be baptized into the name of Jesus for the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right? If today is your day to, I'm not defeated, but I'm a little beat up, and you want us to pray with you, that can be your day as well, okay? So, if you need anything, let's take it to Him.